Honey, is that TNT? It was a clueless boyfriend that shut down the terminal at Newark, and commercial astronauts have already begun training. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, January 12th, 2010. The power of suggestion is real. Just ask two TSA screeners at Meadows Field Airport in Bakersfield, California. Several bottles being brought back home to Milwaukee by 31-year-old Francisco Ramirez set off explosive detection monitors and initially tested positive for TNT. Two unidentified TSA agents who handled the bottles complained of a strong chemical odor and were taken to a hospital complaining of nausea. They were treated and released. The FBI determined that the bottles contained only honey. There's no comment so far on why the machines thought it was TNT. Kern County Sheriff Donnie Youngblood speculates the TSA agents may have felt nauseous because they were just nervous. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey says it has arrested that moron who went in through the exit of the secure area in the Continental Airlines terminal at Newark Liberty Airport the evening of January 3rd. He triggered an evacuation of the terminal and the cancellation of all the airline's flights out that night. The authority says 28-year-old Haisong Zhang was seen on surveillance video speaking with a TSA agent. A moment later, the agent leaves his post, and the man, officials say, is Zhang, slips under the barriers and into the arms of a woman reported to be his girlfriend. It reportedly took this long to make the identification, in part because one of the security cameras in the area was down and had been waiting for repairs for 6 days. Senator Frank Lautenberg of New Jersey opines, quote, "That's like having a fire truck with a flat tire in it and nobody bothers looking at it until the alarm goes off," unquote. The TSA agent has been placed on administrative leave. And yes, the word moron was mine, not the Port Authority's. The era of commercial space operations marches relentlessly closer. The National Aerospace Training and Research Center's inaugural Suborbital Scientist Astronaut Training Course begins this week at its facility just outside Philadelphia. 13 researchers who plan to accompany experiments on upcoming commercial space missions are expected to train. The comprehensive 2-day course includes classroom instruction, overview of the commercial spaceflight industry, altitude chamber training, multi-axis centrifuge training for launch and reentry accelerations, and severe distraction factor exercises, with the goal of fully acquainting and preparing trainees for the physical rigors and time pressure constraints involved during suborbital spaceflight. The course has been developed by the NASTAR Center and is organized by Dr. Alan Stern and Dr. Dan Derta of the Southwest Research Institute. This partnership provides an opportunity for the scientific community to become educated about the potential to perform low-cost, repeatable, hands-on projects and experiments in space in the near future. Stern observes, quote, "We are very much looking forward to the NASTAR course, which will be our first dedicated spaceflight familiarization activity. We're already preparing research experiments for suborbital spaceflight and look forward to soon seeing these experiments scheduled for flight," unquote. Up next on ANN, the FAA has a bulletin for owners of some Honeywell FMSs. A proposed wind turbine could be a risk to navigation. And now you can maintain your Black Hawk for less. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 12th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA has issued a special airworthiness information bulletin to advise owners and operators of incorrect information transmitted by some models of the Honeywell NZ2000 Primus Epic Flight Management System. The affected models are detailed in the text version of this story, dated January 11th at aero-news.net. The issue arises when changing destination runways during RNAV approaches, which can cause the FMS to navigate not to the next sequential waypoint, but back to the initial waypoint in the approach. There's a Honeywell service letter on the topic. The FAA advises affected owners to become familiar with the procedures it describes. The FAA has notified the city of Dartmouth, Massachusetts, that one of two wind turbines the city wants to build could interfere with air navigation. The FAA says that the planned 462-foot structure, quote, exceeds obstruction standards and or would have an adverse physical or electromagnetic interference for aircraft approaching New Bedford Regional Airport. According to South Coast Today, it wouldn't take much to bring it into compliance. The FAA recommends lowering the overall height of the structure to 417 feet from blade tip to base, or 428 feet if an independent analysis of the terrain meets with FAA approval. The FAA ruling applies only to the northernmost of the two turbines. The south structure is still being evaluated. Officials say the town will conduct a site survey and attempt to qualify a 428-foot structure. The town expects to save over $500,000 in the first year in energy costs by constructing the two turbines on land the municipality owns, but it could have saved $100,000 more if the tower could have been built to its full proposed height. If you could only figure out when parts are about to break, you could save a lot of money on maintenance and be safer at the same time. Goodrich Corporation says it has such technology available now for helicopters and is entering into a collaboration with Helicopter Support Incorporated, a division of SAS, Sikorsky Aerospace Services, to promote it to international users of the Black Hawk. Networked sensors monitor the mechanical performance of the entire aircraft, allowing what's known as predictive maintenance. Goodrich calls them Health and Usage Monitoring Systems, or HUMS, and they promise lower operating costs and increased fleet availability. Jan Mathiasen, VP of Goodrich Sensors and Integrated Systems, notes, quote, "Our systems have been validated on multiple aircraft, including the Sikorsky Black Hawk helicopter, with documented reduction in maintenance time and costs. It's a natural progression to offer our HUMS systems for international Black Hawk helicopter fleets," unquote. Find more details on the news page at Sikorsky.com. Still ahead, UAVs replace manned flights for measuring smog. The RAF loves its Globemasters. And remembering Billy Singleton. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, January 12th. I'm Paul Platt. Another former application for manned flights is now being done better and cheaper with UAVs. Scientists at Scripps Institution of Oceanography at UC San Diego say they've been using a fleet of Manta autonomous UAVs to track pollution and atmospheric data over the skies of Southern California. The study began data collection on April 2nd last year, using UAVs which normally fly in formations of three to provide a unique 3D analysis of the atmosphere. They measured a range of properties such as the quantity and size of aerosol particles on which cloud droplets form. The instruments also recorded temperature, humidity, the intensity of light that permeates clouds and smog, and other variables. The cost was said to be way less than using traditional manned aircraft. The Manta is one of several UAVs produced by Advanced Ceramics Research in Tucson, Arizona, now a part of BAE Systems. It can carry a 15-pound payload for up to 6 hours at up to 12,000 feet. The British Ministry of Defense has ordered a seventh C-17 Globemaster, praising the plane's value to the fight in Iraq and Afghanistan. The C-17 can carry a Chinook helicopter, or 13 Land Rovers, or mixed freight loads of up to 160,000 pounds. The plane is scheduled for delivery in March of 2011. Defense Secretary Bob Ainsworth explains, quote, "Afghanistan remains our top priority. Since its entry into service in 2001, the UK's C-17 fleet has provided outstanding performance in RAF service in support of operations, humanitarian relief, and routine tasks," unquote. British forces have put 50,000 hours on their current C-17 fleet since 2001. And finally today, a highly decorated member of the Alabama Aviation Hall of Fame has passed away after a brief illness. Joe Shannon was 88 years old, and enjoyed an aviation career spanning 70 years. Hall of Fame Chairman Billy Singleton told the Associated Press, quote, "He was a remarkable individual. He knew anything and everything about aviation," unquote. Shannon started his career in the Army National Guard while still a high school student. He shipped out to England in 1940 and trained in British Spitfires. He survived 50 combat missions in Africa and Europe against Germany's Luftwaffe. He also trained in the B-25 bomber before participating in the China-Burma-India theater. But Shannon was most famous for training Cuban Liberation Air Force pilots and participating in the Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba, and was said to be the last surviving Alabama Guard pilot who flew in the invasion. The CIA recruited Shannon in 1961 to participate in their covert operations in Cuba. According to his son, Louis Shannon, quote, "It was a defining point of his life," unquote. Joe, thank you for your service. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Patty Wagstaff about the history and future of sponsorships in the airshow industry. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.